Welcome back, everyone, to the front line with Joe and Joe. Joe Pasillo and Joe Resinello.
Oh, you're exactly right, Joe.
We work for the man upstairs, as you do.
You're setting me up quite well. You just gave me an alley-oop.
The greatest revolutionary act you can commit right now is to open your mouth and speak the truth.
Whether you're an academic or you're a regular guy, we have to be fearless.
And once more, dear brothers and sisters, let us go into the breach.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the front line with Joe and Joe. Joe Pasillo, as always, joined by Joe Resinello. And once more, dear brothers and sisters, let us go in to the breach on the Veritas Catholic Radio Network, 1350 on your AM dial, 103.9 on your FM dial, spreading the truth of the Catholic faith to the New York City metropolitan area. Two things: download the app, share it with your friends. You'll have access to all of our station's content. And if you want to see all of Joe and my content, both political, social, and cultural commentary, along with our interviews that we produce for Veritas, you can find us all over social media: Rumble, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. Help us out. Hit a like, a subscribe, a share. Do all that fun stuff. Today, we're very pleased and honored to be welcoming back to the program a friend of the show, Patty McGuire Armstrong. She's got two books out right now that we're going to discuss today in the two segments. They're both out from Holy Heroes Publisher. We'll give Patty a chance to let everyone know where they could go and buy the book. The two books are Dear God, I Don't Get It, and Dear God, You Can't Be Serious. I don't know about you, Joe, but I know at some point in my recent past, I have asked those two questions. So we're happy to have Patty McGuire Armstrong back on. Just a quick bio. She's an award-winning journalist. She was managing editor and co-author of the best-selling Amazing Grace series. Her latest books are the humorous and inspirational second edition, Dear God, I Don't Get It, Dear God, You Can't Be Serious, and also What Would Monica Do and Holy Hacks. Patty worked in social work and public administration before staying home as a freelance writer while she and her husband Mark raised their 10 children in North Dakota. Follow her on Twitter at Patty Armstrong with an I, P-A-T-T-I, Armstrong, and read her blog at PattyMcGuireArmstrong.com. Patty McGuire, welcome back to the front line with Joe and Joe.
Well, thank you, Joe. Wow, that was a mouthful. I don't think you even took a breath. Good job.
You know what? It's part of that Italian in me. I could talk for a long period of time without actually having to breathe. Some people could do that underwater. I do that while speaking. Hence, that's why Joe and I are on the radio. I'm going to send it over to Joe. We'll have a great conversation with our friend Patty.
Patty, we always start with a prayer to Our Lady. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, never was it known that anyone who sought your help or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto you, a virgin of virgins, our mother. To you we come, for you we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O mother of the word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your clemency hear and answer us, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Well, Patty, when we talk, I'll be honest with you, I feel like I've known you for years, and I'll tell you why. You remind me of a gentleman who I grew up with his kids. He has 10 kids, Mr. Fitzsimmons, red hair, the whole deal. He ran UPS in Newark. He had a huge job at UPS. And then I used to volunteer with him with the Missionaries of Charity in his 70s. Super guy. I'll be honest with you. Every time I talk to you, you guys could be like, you could be a sibling. I'm just like, it's Mr. Fitzsimmons' sister. And you both have 10 kids.
it's the Irish, I think, maybe.
It is. He's a great guy. I mean, I'll talk about him for a second. He had a huge job, raised 10 kids. He ran the UPS hub in Newark. When he retired, he worked at the Kolka counter at ShopRite for like 2 years. I was like blown away. He had a humongous job. And he's like, I would see him, he'd be like, hey, Joe, you want cheese? Yeah. I'm just like, holy crap. I don't think I would do that. I'll be honest with you. I always like tip my hat to the guy, because I mean, it was a super humble gesture. He had a huge job. So I love him. And I had to just tell him.
That is very cool. You know, it's funny because I knew a guy like that in the Bismarck area. And he wasn't doing it for the money. He just loved to be out among people. So it's kind of the same thing.
Same deal. But yes. So Mr. Simmons, if you're hearing this, I love you. Good stuff.
let me ask you this, Joe. I hope you don't mind.
Go.
So the first book, Dear God, I Don't Get It. Let me see if I could give you my train of thought here. Yes, the book. And we'll tell everybody where they could buy it. Dear God, I don't get it. I'm reminded of Job. I'm reminded of Job. He's, in a sense, he is saying to God, I don't get it. I've been faithful to you. I've been a loyal servant to you. Why is this happening to me? And God basically reads him the riot act. And we all know the story of Job, you know, is God's response, letting him know, Job, you're not me. And you're not going to understand my thinking. My thinking is as high above yours as the heavens are above the earth. OK, so what attracted you to the subject? I mean, you know, to say, you know, we as human beings, many times, whether we're Catholic or not, is God, I don't get it. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, it's funny because in hindsight, I can really analyze and give you a lot of theology and introspection. But it just kind of came to me. I was just living the life, raising my kids. It's really inspired by a true story. So there's some stuff that actually happened there. The characters are based off of some of my children, the oldest ones. And that way I always knew what they would do. And it was so rewarding when I heard one of my sons laughing out loud reading it. And he goes, that's exactly what Luke would do. Because I knew the characters. And having been in social work and then serious about my faith and different kind of volunteer work, I saw that a lot of people lost their faith when things didn't turn out for them. And I thought, didn't you notice that before? Like, didn't you know people live and die? There's good things, there's bad things that happen. In this kid's life, they had to move from Montana to Bismarck, which is actually what happened to us. The story became a boy praying for something that his dad would be, that he'd find a job, we'd be able to stay in Montana. And that didn't happen. So now what's the point of even praying? And I see that regardless of the age, it can start in childhood where they start to grapple with this. And then he discovers his brother was praying to move. So now he's really confused. Like, why should we even bother to pray when, you know, you don't get what you want or somebody's praying for the opposite? Doesn't make any sense. And so we go through, it's fun because they're boy heroes, but you know, there's some girl characters. So they're being used in some Catholic schools. And I keep hearing the same thing over and over again, that the kids are reading them over and over, that they have to be taken away because like, hey, we got to go on to the next subject or you got to go to bed now. I love it. It's music to my ears. As a matter of fact, the president of Heartbeat Records at a conference, you know, I had given her the book and she gave it to her granddaughter who was 14. She said the next day, she goes, Patty, I had to take your book away from my granddaughter. She wouldn't go to bed. So I had to take it away from her. She can finish it later. And then she later told me, you know, her 14-year-old, and I really wrote it addressing to third to sixth grade. But kids will read it over and over. And one boy told me, every time I read it, it moves my heart because it's trying to make sense. There's a lot of humor. There's adventure. There's inspiration without hitting kids over the head, which adults need too, because in the Amazing Grace books, we let the story, we didn't preach, we didn't lecture, because God in people's lives did that for us. And that's kind of what I wanted to capture in this book, where you're trying to make sense of the world. And he, as he goes through these experiences, he reconnects with God, but he's having trouble making sense of it. But I like what you said about Job. He's going along, not always understanding everything, but in the end, the pieces come together and he realizes that God's got this. He has a plan beyond what we could begin to understand. So when we, in our little world, in our little mind, when we do come against the hardships, we just have to continue. And it's about relationship. It isn't about getting what you ask for, because God's going to give you even more.
Right. And I think that's one of the things that's appealing about at least the title of your book and your book itself, is that the modern world doesn't want to hear about pain and suffering. You know, their question is, God, I don't get it. Even if they believe in God, they say to God, I don't get it. If they don't believe, they say, that's why I don't believe, is because I don't get it. Real quick, Patty McGuire Armstrong, where could folks buy the book? And then I'm going to hand it over to Joe Russo. The books, Dear God, I Don't Get It, and Dear God, You Can't Be Serious.
Right. And they have really cute illustrations in them. And you can get them at Holy Heroes. Or you can get them on Amazon, but I always like to send people to the publisher, holyheroes.com. They have great stuff for kids and families. And it's got discussion questions. Schools are using them. So that'd be the place to get them.
Well, given all the stuff, the nonsense that's going into public schools and the libraries, parents could go out immediately and buy your books. Joe Racinello, where do you want to go?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about Aaron in a bit, but I want to talk about the title because I think it's important. Dear God, I don't get it. Because as I just want to make a general statement and we could all kind of throw it around. I don't think the world gets it. When I was reading this, it sounds very pharisaical, to be honest with you, because who am I and what do I really get? But what I mean by that is the world doesn't make sense out of Christ. I've been like a practicing Catholic. I'm 53. I've been doing this now for 31 years. I committed myself at 22 when I came out of college. And, you know, I've grown, obviously, since then. But the world does not make sense outside of God and the cross. And I think that's why the world grapples with things the way it does. Let's talk about that. Did that have something to play inside of this title, a larger theme? Because ultimately, I think when I see people I interact with, I work in the secular world, my neighbors, you talk to people in your family, a lot of stuff they're struggling with. In a way that if you are a person of faith, you're not going to. That doesn't mean we don't struggle. Every day, a running joke in my house when I wake up with my wife is, why? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll wake up, you know, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. The coffee's not working. Why? But you could digest things a little bit easier. Talk about that, because I think that's, for me, a larger theme and a very important one.
Right. Because whether it's something big or something small, like the coffee not working, as humans, we're like, what, you know, what's going on? And a lot of times you hear people like, oh, what a bad day I'm having. And they list a lot of first world problems. And if you take a step back, you realize whether there's little or small problems, we can make sense out of everything in the suffering of Christ. You know, a lot of Catholics, we understand offering things up, but also that we are not going through it alone, that this world isn't meant to be paradise. So why do we have euthanasia? Because people are like, this isn't working out. I'm going to do this instead. But we realize there's something bigger than us that gives us a sense of peace and comfort. We aren't our own God. Doesn't mean we don't have bad days sometimes. But we have somebody to talk to about it. We can say, help us. And that's what Aaron begins to do. He's in a new school situation, very awkward and uncomfortable. I've heard from kids who also have moved. And so this book has meant the world to them because they see that interior dialogue. They see the ups and downs of, seems like I'm getting accepted. Okay, but I'm talking to the girls. I need to make friends with some of the guys. That's what's happening. But there becomes an interior dialogue. So we're not alone. There's something bigger. And that's what the world has lost. They've lost taking God out of schools. I mean, that was the biggest mistake ever that I think is why we're experiencing a lot of what we're going through right now in schools, where drag queens are welcome, but Jesus isn't. Like, no, that doesn't lead to good things. And so kids have something to hang on, and you walk with the Lord. You see, so even Joe, your coffee machine's not working. Instead of feeling like the universe is against me, you might stop and say a prayer, or like, hey, Lord, help me get through the day. Like, I'm having a bad morning. You know, we have something eternal that is beyond anything the world can give us. That's huge. That changes everything. And that means we can go through the same struggles that somebody else can and still have our peace.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just an aside then, I want to get to Aaron because I want to know how he basically grows as a result of that move, because I think that's important and we could all grow as a result of learning from his example. But in terms of like those little type of things, I've learned is when you accept when something takes a left, sometimes God is going to teach you in that left hand turn. For instance, you don't have milk for your coffee. You're like, oh, my gosh, I wanted milk. But then all of a sudden you're like, I kind of like it now without it. So you learn something and you accept it. And that's kind of how, using a stupid example, a lot of times it's bigger examples, could be a death in the family, could be something financial. God is teaching you. You have that faith in him. He is in control and we're not. But let's get back to Aaron. Obviously, he moves. He gets to a new school and he starts to grow. How does those challenges move him to grow? Because ultimately, life is our greatest teacher.
Well, he's seeing his brother not having the problems he is, except, you know, just getting to know people, making friends easily. And then there's a bully in his class making fun of him. And he's frustrated. But as time goes on, he starts to realize this kid is insecure. He has a moment in the book where he could be kind to him, where this boy has been humiliated, and he chooses kindness. He also looks at, like in the lessons of the day at class, they're talking about Johnny Appleseed. So the kids are learning a little bit about people in history, and Aaron is captivated with the idea of being a hero. He's learned about the saints. So he's thinking, are saints heroes? Are heroes saints? Is it always both? And he decides he wants to be a hero. Like, this is a way he could start to feel he belongs, get recognition, kind of make up for some of the insecurity he's feeling. But he goes out and he does good things, but then now he's running out of good things to do. So he starts to create situations where he's going to be the hero. And he created the problem to begin with to come out as the hero. So he goes through this period of a real life lesson and awakening where the jig's up. He's discovered, like, wait a minute, you caused this to begin with. And he's humbled. And, you know, his mom or his dad says, you know, that the saints, they rose to the occasion. They didn't create situations to draw attention to themselves, to make them feel good. And so then there's things that happen in the book where he is confronted with a situation where he acts on instinct to help somebody, a neighbor who he needs to call 911. So the newspaper writes him up as a hero and he's like, but I didn't do anything. But then it's when that bully, when he comes to the point where he chooses kindness at the risk of maybe the new friends he thinks he's making might turn on him, that's when he's a true hero. When in the eyes of the world, they might be turning on him. But in the end, everything comes together. The other kids respect him. I mean, not to give away the ending, but, you know, I figure if you're gonna get it, you're gonna get it either way. But I just want to show how this is real life. This is how life works. When you hang on to your faith and you do the right thing, it gets you through the difficult times. And in the end, there are life lessons that come from the suffering. And you're stronger in the end that if we just make it too easy in our kids, like they don't get chores or they don't have to ever eat anything that they don't even like a little bit. You know that you're not doing your kids a favor by making life easy. And so isn't that the lesson that God gives us? It's not the lesson of our choice. But in the Amazing Grace books that I wrote, you know, I did real life stories. I interviewed people, I ghost wrote their stories, and I saw people coming out stronger and more in love with God than when the trouble started. How can that be? Except when you look at the grace of God and our faith, and we look in hindsight and you get old enough, you start to look back and realize a lot of the stuff that wasn't of our choosing was for our own betterment. We have a better life because of it, but we would have gone down a different path. And so really we see that in these books.
Absolutely. Patty McGuire Armstrong joining us here at the Frontline with Joe and Joe. Dear God, I don't get it. And then, dear God, you can't be serious. You can buy the books at two books at holyheroes.com and amazon.com if you have to, but we really like for you to support Holy Heroes. Let me make a comment and lead to a question, Patty. I have arguments/conversations with friends of mine at times. One friend recently I was on the phone with, I was told we got on the subject of God. He's a lapsed Catholic. He's an atheist now. Calls God sadistic, which is the typical atheist line you hear from people like Sam Harris. He's sadistic. So, and here's the thing. I find it, and it ties into the idea that I don't get it. And I said to him, I think I might have even used those words. I said, I don't get why God, and what he's alluding to is God allowing pain and suffering. That whole argument, that's what we're talking about. I don't get it. Why the pain and suffering? Okay. Here's one thing. I don't know the answer to that question. Here's one thing I do know. And this was my response to my friend. He is my friend. I said, I don't know why God allows it, but I know God made a free choice to enter into it. That's why I'm a Roman Catholic, because no other religion presents God in that way. Sin, the rupture of our relationship, our first, the fall of man, ruptured our relationship so bad with God. And people don't understand the gravity of that. And yet God still chooses to enter into our pain and suffering. Where am I going with that? Does that not suggest that God has an overarching plan, not just for humanity, but also for our lives. That tells me that in all the pain and suffering, all the problems, all the issues and everything else, there's a plan going on here. Talk about that in light of your book, the idea of God's plan.
Sure, because sin entered the world. It's not perfect. Free will entered the world. So you've got all these different actors not always willing the good of the other. And this is, I don't know which saint said it, but it said the world is like a ship. It's not the destination. It's the ship. We're just passing through. The destination is heaven. So there are going to be those moments, the Job moments, where we are passing through difficulty. And in an atheist, I've had conversations with atheists. I've had dialogue, you know, writing back and forth. And I love this meme. It really epitomizes it from an atheist speaking. I don't believe in God and I hate him.
Right.
And it's because, oh, well, you know, because things are going wrong. And it's like, that is such a thin piece of what you believe. That's why you don't believe in God, even though I love what you said, but Jesus entered into this. He chose to enter into the world that humanity lives with because of the imperfections.
I just want to say one thing there. I'm going to let you keep going. But that is, I think, a very powerful response that I have found to the atheist. I've always said this to them. If you're what you're talking about is not my God. It's not that if you want to talk to me about the Catholic God, the God is revealed in Scripture, all right, and taught by the magisterium of the church, we can stay there. Don't talk to me about anybody else's God. Don't talk to me about the pantheon of gods. My God that you hate entered into that pain and suffering. So if you're going to criticize, say that God is indifferent, you're not talking to me or Patty McGuire, Armstrong, or Joe Resinello. We're Roman Catholic. Our God understands us so much because he felt that pain. And they're pushed back on that because they love to just make God, like you said, like a caricature, this sadistic type of God. No. Well, you're talking about somebody else. Talk to me about the Roman Catholic Jesus Christ, all right, and him entering into our pain and suffering and experiencing the fullness of that. Sorry to cut you off, Patty, but I want to tell our audience, when atheists try to do that, remember, we believe in Jesus Christ who died on the cross. Please continue, Patty.
Joe, jump in anytime. That's beautiful. And it's just part of the conversation.
I told you can't shut me up, Patty. I told you can't shut me up.
I knew the three of us were not going to have any problem filling the airtime. I love what you just said, because they have these little blinders on and then they have a tantrum. God's mean. You know, this happened to me. And it's like, really? Like, that's what you think? Why don't you open up your eyes, look at what God did, look at humanity, look at our choices. So I would ask, okay, if everything was perfect and we didn't suffer any pain, then would you believe in God? What kind of God would that be? No free will, really. No challenges. And now we're going to believe in him because everything's perfect. Well, that's what heaven is. You know, this is not heaven. Did you not get that memo? This is not heaven. And can you not see that through our difficulties, we grow, we become holier? You know, I read for the National Catholic Register and I did an article years ago, you know what? It was part of the Amazing Grace series books, with euthanasia being such a big thing and people wanting, like, I don't want to suffer. So I'm going to decide when I'm going to die. I'm going to have a nice cup of tea. I'm going to have my family around me. It's going to be beautiful. Like, yeah, I don't think it is. Sorry. Like, that is not your choice. But I interviewed somebody whose husband died of Lou Gehrig's disease. And it was like, It's a Wonderful Life. The whole town came out. They just loved him so much. And now he's failing and it's an incurable disease. He loses control of nervous system. And his wife said, you know, this wasn't just for Joe. That was his name. So it wasn't just for Joe. It was for the people around him too, because it was for their opportunity for holiness. And so you see that God is doing way more than what an atheist might see on the surface. They just, you know, kick their feet and scream and say, God's mean. And like, really, do your children take away any slight bit of difficulty in your children's life? No, like, they need to say, sit back for a minute. Let's look at the bigger picture here. How are you as a father? You know, why do you expect, as a father, this is how you love your children? Why do you expect any less from God? So we see this in the books. We see that, I mean, there's a lot of humor, but even in the humor, sometimes it's frustration and it's one brother, you know, against another brother, or in a way, like in a humorous kind of way. But you work through that through a child's mind, but the child's thinking is not really any different than our own thinking, than a lot of people we know, including the atheists. And you don't have to be an atheist to sometimes question God and get frustrated and get mad because things aren't going well. So this really kind of puts it, like I said, you walk through those experiences, through the thoughts and experiences of the kids in the stories.
Absolutely. Joe Rusinelli, your comments.
Well, I just want to say one thing about God has a plan, and I think you both touched on it. It's to get us to heaven. And that's why the world doesn't understand itself outside of God. We have a plan, but that plan isn't always to get us to heaven. God has a larger plan, and we have to hold on not so tightly to our own. When God pries open our fingers, we have to let certain things go and accept it. And that's what I think being Catholic and having a relationship with Christ allows you to do. It transforms you. I just wanted to throw that in. But I want to talk about Aaron for a second, because Aaron had parents. And I think this generation is not going to have what Aaron had, or what you had, or what I had, or what Joe had. And I'm concerned for it. I have young kids. And my concern is, when I screwed up, and I did, I remember the last time you were on the show, Patty, you talked about Father Calloway. I always laugh that he like was a lunatic. Well, I kind of was too. And my friends were kind of crazy too. I wasn't a hippie. I was kind of like a frat guy, but I was off the hook. And when I screwed up, I had my parents in the rearview mirror. They're married 52 years, went to bed at 9 o'clock, plain vanilla, solid, consistent, steady. And I knew I had to get back on track, because even though they weren't preaching, and they weren't, I knew what was right by just living it. My parents sacrificed for us. I got it. And it got me back in line. Kids now aren't going to have the rearview mirror. They're not going to have it. And that is why, I'll be honest with you, I'm preaching from the rooftops on our shows, because I think 20 years from now, America is in trouble, because you're not going to, they don't have that example. Aaron did. He had parents. We all have troubles. Your parents are there to guide you through it. You fall down, they scrape you up, you know, like push you along to talk to you. Talk about that, because I'll be honest with you, I'm concerned.
Patty, let me cut you up. Let's go to a quick break, okay? And then we'll pick up on that question, and then we'll go into your other book, Dear God, You Can't Be Serious, okay? So if you're just joining us here at the Frontline with Joe and Joe, we're being joined by a good friend of the show, Patty McGuire Armstrong. Two books she has out right now, Dear God, I Don't Get It, which we were discussing in the first segment. In the next segment, we're going to discuss Dear God, You Can't Be Serious. You can buy that if you have to at Amazon. We prefer you buy it at holyheroes.com. You're listening to us on the Veritas Catholic Radio Network. Stick around. We have another great segment with Patty McGuire Armstrong.
Catholic radio works. And now we have it here in Connecticut and New York. It's been seen around the country that there's no better tool for evangelization. Where there's Catholic radio, the folks who listen deepen their faith. Families are strengthened. Parishes and communities flourish. So, let people know you're listening to Veritas. Tell your friends to tune in. And let's make an impact here for Jesus and his church. This is Steve Lee for Veritas Catholic Network.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Frontline with Joe and Joe, Joe Pasillo and Joe Rosanello. And we are way in the breach with Patty McGuire Armstrong on the Veritas Catholic Radio Network. We're discussing her two books, Dear God, I Don't Get It, and Dear God, You Can't Be Serious. Patty, so we ended the last segment where Joe was talking to you about Aaron, the main character in Dear God, I Don't Get It. And yeah, relate that to what we're going through now as far as, look, it's not some cliche or some brilliant observation to say the family has been and is continuing to be attacked and broken down. Talk about Aaron and his relationship to his parents and the importance of that.
I definitely will. You know, I have a degree in social work and I worked in the field. I ran a group home for delinquent boys. And I'm going to add to my bio, I'm a talk show host. It's a secular show. Ladies of Another View cover those angles all the time. And my book, What Would Monica Do? For people praying, kind of going through the life of Monica, but also St. Monica, and also covering the world and the church and families is full of stories, happy ending stories like Father Calloway. And so I'm very aware of families being broken, of people feeling like, I'm less than, like, what am I going to do? I'm a single mom, or I'm a single dad. My children are going to miss out. Or children who I'm very well aware, they don't really have either parent that's doing the right thing. And that's why it's a tragedy that prayer was taken out of school. Now, sometimes the reaction is, and I think we started seeing this in the 70s and 80s. Well, you don't want to put the Leave It to Beaver families out there, because then these other kids feel like I'm less than. Well, my dad, born in 1925, he's going to be 98 this month. He grew up in a single family home. His dad was an alcoholic. They immigrated from Ireland. Eventually got kicked out. They didn't have AA. People didn't really understand. He got kicked out. He died of a skull fracture falling down some steps. He was raised without a dad. And I said, how did you feel? Because the wound of being not having a father at home back then in the 20s and 30s was bigger. It was more rare. He said, well, I always knew what a dad was supposed to do. He missed that he didn't have a dad. He was a very good son, but at no point was the remedy to show some dysfunctional family so he feels more normal. Yes, I mean, now kids don't feel abnormal if they have a single parent because it's common, but I think the role modeling is very important. I know some young people that are on fire Catholics married with a family who didn't have that growing up, but they're striving towards that now. We don't take apart the good. But I hear you. I hear you. I think it is the pain of our culture right now that we are experiencing. So we do, we pray God can make up for what is lacking. We need to pray for these families. If we are one of these families, we need to pray and trust. Say, pray to the Blessed Mother. Pray to St. Joseph to be the father or the mother, you know, the Blessed Mother. But it's a big missing piece. But to have a family that is acting the way families were meant to act is a blessing wherever you are on that spectrum.
Absolutely. Joe Russinello.
Well, let's talk about the second book. I don't want to, what's it called? I want to give it a fair shake. Dear God, You Can't Be Serious. And I want to talk about that title before we get into Luke, the main character. I like it. And I like your story. I remember it distinctly the last time you were on. You were talking about a book fell from your bookshelf. You had 10 children. I mean, it's quite a story, you know. But I'm going to relate a little bit of my story. Like you talk about, like, married life, having kids. I mean, we have five. We lost two in between the third. I didn't think my wife could have any more kids. And when she got pregnant a fourth time, I had to inject her with progesterone. I was just like, to your point, are you serious? Like, literally, that was like out of my mouth to the doctor. Like, really? You want me to inject my wife with, you know, medicine? Well, I did. And we had Jerry, and it was a tough pregnancy, very tough. Didn't think she can get pregnant again, and she did. And we had Maria, and she was very nervous. My wife had five C-sections, and Maria came out like nothing, like so easy. Like Jerry, like it was bad. Like she was in the operating room for quite some time. It was a very tough pregnancy. We lost two kids. And then Maria, just boom. Like nothing. So God has a plan. Talk about that title with regard to your life. Because, I mean, be honest, 10 kids, that's no joke. I mean, and I'm sure many times you and your husband have said that. Because it's also the demands of the church. Because, like, there are points where God tests you. Like, the church says you're not supposed to use contraception. Well, my wife had five C-sections. A lot of people, like, the last time we had the baby, they made us sign 700 papers. Two people wanted to witness the operation. They said, do you mind if we come in? Like, as if, like, Frankenstein's monster was going to come out of my wife. Like, as if some insanity. And who are these crazy people who would do this? But God has a plan, and God is serious. But we say that. Are you serious? Yes. That's what he says. Yes, I am serious. Talk about that, because I'm sure you can.
Oh my gosh, can I? I have interviewed so many people in their stories, like in the Amazing Grace book series. There were an entire town of people that turned against a woman who had two boys, two girls, but each one died at about a year and a half old because she had a condition that didn't show up until then. So they went through a real dark time and decided we're going to trust God. They had more children, but people then thought, well, we don't feel sorry for you. You're nuts. Or people that had somebody that had Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. And then went on to have more. And the doctor says, are you crazy? If it's a boy, it's 100% chance he's going to have Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. Then he's going to The oldest he'll live is 13 or 14 years old. Plus he had, what did he have? It's a breathing condition. I forget what it's called.
Asthma?
No, worse than asthma. They have to have breathing treatment. Anyway, he had both of them. And the doctor's like, are you crazy? How could you?
Cystic fibrosis.
Yeah. So here's this kid. Duchenne's the worst kind of muscular dystrophy and cystic fibrosis. And they go and they have more children. She said, well, we spaced it. We used natural family planning. We spaced it knowing that our son was going to need extra care, but they were still open to life. Guess what? They had a boy 100% healthy. So trusting in God, but they knew that the doctor might be right. This might happen, but they didn't. They still thought life was valuable. Is that what everybody needs to do? No, I never tell people you need to do this. You need to have this many children. No, you need to touch base with God. You need to include him in your prayer, in your discernment, in what you're going to do. But things are difficult. But it's amazing the blessings that come from that. So yes, raising 10 kids too. We adopted from Kenya. They were AIDS orphans. Their stories are incredible. Like when I talk, people are amazed because the oldest one is a doctor now and he has three kids and the two of them were suffering from malnutrition. Kelvin had never met an American. It's amazing how his prayer was answered and he ended up with us. So you go through those difficulties and everybody else says, you got to be kidding because you're living the faith and having 10 kids. I had a master's degree and now I'm staying home homeschooling with all these kids. I'm sure every feminist on the planet thought that woman has a screw loose. And sometimes people did say such things as that. And then I started out in journalism. I took a year of journalism. I was always freelance writing. And in the end, at the end of that, I have a dozen books in publication. I write for the top Catholic newspaper, National Catholic Register. I've had a talk show for 3 years that I did not apply for that I question, like, wait a minute, because everything's a first edit. When you write, you get everything just right. But when you're doing it on the talk show, like it took a little bit of a learning curve. And it's a secular show, but I realized, oh my gosh, I can bring my faith to a wider audience. So God has blessed me in my, staying home, living the quiet, hidden life with not just 10 kids, 8 of them are boys. So our house still hasn't fully recovered from that. So, and now we have 17 grandkids. So, our house is broken in. But it's seeing the blessings when you step out in faith from you and your five kids, Joe, and all the difficulties and making the choices. You know what one of my favorite topics is, and I've written many, many articles and stories and they're in the Amazing Grace books, is on Down syndrome children. What I began to see is how blessed these families are beyond the families who don't have that. They have blessings that come from those children. In one situation, there was a couple who felt that this saved their marriage. He had another condition. He was supposed to die. They had hoped he was going to die in utero. They fell in love with him while they were carrying him and mourned like, oh my gosh, he's going to die. He's going to be born and we're going to have to say goodbye. And the doctors came and said, this is not the same child. He did have Down syndrome, but he did not have that other life-threatening condition. And I did a follow-up story on them when he was 12 years old. And his class loves him. They sent pictures. I mean, he spreads love and joy everywhere he goes. But what does the world say? Oh, there's an imperfection here we can control. We can abort this child. But in the families where they are open and they have these children, they are such a blessing. It's like everybody loves Down syndrome children. And yet they're being aborted at, depending on the country, like where is it? It's not
Iceland.
It's not
just, Iceland, they're like
Iceland. They want 100%. I actually came across somebody, one person in all of Iceland that has a Down syndrome child. They talk about 60 minutes of the program on eradicating Down syndrome in Iceland. They're not eradicating Down syndrome. They're eradicating the children that have it. And I just recently did an article last year on a girl. I can't remember the names of everybody. She has Down syndrome and she was a speaker at One Life LA. And she said, people just want to be loved. That's what makes you happy. And her mother was on the conference call with me when I was interviewing her. And she said, she asked her daughter, does it ever bother you that you have Down syndrome? And she goes, Mom, why do you even ask that question? This is who I am. And I love who I am. They're some of the happiest people on the planet. So I don't know if I'm answering your question.
No, it's commentary.
Yeah,
I'm glad you brought up Patty McGuire Armstrong. I'm glad you brought up Iceland. Joe and I have said on the show a million times, talking about that same report. And Joe and I are a little bit more blunt in the way we put it. Yeah, that's right. No Down syndrome, because they killed them all. You know, and that's exactly what they did. And then, like the modern world is apt to do, then they boast about it. Look, no Down syndrome kids. We just got rid of them. That's what the modern world says. But that's not what you say in your books when you're writing, Dear God, I Don't Get It, and Dear God, You Can't Be Serious. Those are available at holyheroes.com and amazon.com. The author's with us today, Patty McGuire Armstrong. Let's talk a little bit about the book. I know that God has a plan only because I could look back at my life, Patty, and I don't know where God was acting. I can't say God acted on that day at that time, and, you know, whatever. But obviously I could see my life. I could see the decisions I've made, and I could see the fruit of those decisions. I've made bad decisions, and of course I see the bad fruit of that at times, but that's a matter of our concupiscence or, you know, our tendency towards sin. But I know that major right decisions have borne fruit in my life, as Joe was alluding to, as you were alluding to, and there's a trust there. Okay, there's a big trust there. You have to trust in God. So Luke is a fifth grader. He's a character in your book, Dear God. Joe, I'm sorry, Joe. I can't help. Every time I hear You Can't Be Serious, I think of John McEnroe yelling at the judge. You can't be serious. But Luke finds out he's going to be homeschooled. Okay, and with his brothers, and he questions whether or not God is listening when he prays. I guess that's a very common thing, not just for a fifth grader, but certainly for adults. When he prays that he wants to go back to school because he wants to be with his friend. Talk about the idea of knowing in your heart that when you pray, God is absolutely listening to your prayers.
So in Luke's situation, now that, like I said, this is inspired by a true story. Now, these books are for everybody, whether you homeschool or you don't homeschool. Like in the first book, it's public school, then homeschool. We did homeschool, and Luke did act that way. He's like, so I know what it looks like. I know what kids, how they act. And in his mind, it's like, you're wrong, God. And he's telling his parents, you guys are wrong. I do not want to homeschool. Now, our kids all went to the Catholic high school. So we had a little bit of everything. We did experience public school, Catholic school, and homeschool. And his feeling is, and this is kind of like a thread through this whole conversation, I know better. I make a better God than God does because I know better, or I know better than my parents do for a kid, which is often why we have all this conflict. And it came across to me when a child was disagreeing on my decision. I said, well, I've thought about it. I prayed about it. I have to answer to God. I don't have to answer to you. I mean, I'm sorry. I know you're not going to see things the way I do, but we don't answer to our kids. We answer to God, and God answers to nobody. And we don't tell him the way it should go down. And so Luke is like, no way. And in reality, that is what he said, because he thoroughly was enjoying himself in life. But what happened with homeschooling, it opened up a whole new world to him where he loved science. He was taking three science classes at a time. He made new friends. He kept in touch with some of his old friends from the Catholic school. He loved it so much, went to high school, loved it. And then he like finished school with 2 degrees in 3 years in college. And at one point he told me, he was taking an advanced science class, and he said, Mom, I'm like, this is more than I'm ready for, but I'm going to study ahead of time and get ready for it. And he said, homeschooling taught me how to learn, which like, I didn't know. Sometimes I was just going by the seat of my pants. But the point isn't homeschool, public school, Catholic school. It's about the reality of our circumstances. And that we think we know better than God. Well, so does Lucifer, right? He's like, I will not serve. And we have to realize that that's what a lot of this is all rooted in. I think everything, sin is always rooted in this, where we think we have a better idea than God. So he's trying to convince us parents. He's going to show them that, hey, I'm just not that type. I'm not the homeschooling type. No. So once again, you've got prayer involved. You got your relationship with God. And that is really at the core of everything from my Amazing Grace series to What Would Monica Do to Holy Hacks, Walking with the Lord, and these children's books. Isn't that the core of everything we do, is that relationship with God, whether it's good, whether it's bad? Because, I mean, let's face it, sometimes we forget about God and the good too, where everything's going well, so we don't need to talk to God, or things are going bad, so we're mad at God, or we're trying to convince God. God, aren't you like, look, this is what I need. This is the way this should go. This is not a good idea. And in the end, we have to let go of all of that. And really, it's about surrendering. And we get to that point when you learn enough lessons in life that you realize, you know, I gave a talk at a retreat once, and I had everybody raise their hand. If you've ever prayed for something you didn't get and look back and said, oh, thank goodness, every single hand went up. And I said, so we really don't know what's best for us, do we? And sometimes it's just the here and now material. You know, I didn't want the roof to cave in on my house. Yeah, I get that. But what about if it's something bigger, like a difficult pregnancy or a disabled child? Or, I mean, there are bad things that happen, you know, problems in marriage, alcoholism. There are difficulties that you're like, okay, there's no way this is a good thing. Yeah, you're probably right. It's not a good thing. However, what can come from that? Because God can do good with all things for those who love him. Good can still come out of that.
Patty, I'm going to hand it over to Joe, but I have one quick comment on that. Again, getting back to the way, you know, like I will argue or push back against, you know, others who are non-believers when they want to criticize the true God, I hate that. I hate when I forget my thought, Patty. I apologize, but I was thinking about, you know, Christ on the cross. But anyway, it'll come back to me. I apologize sincerely. Joe Racinello.
Luke learns in this book the power of doing the right thing when it's difficult. There's a lot of adults that don't learn that and never learn it. Everything that's good requires sacrifice. Everything. Luke learns that. He didn't want to do something. He began the homeschooling process and he got something out of it. Talk about that, because I think there's a greater lesson there. It's something that America is missing, because doing the right thing is always hard. Always. I mean, the path to heaven is narrow. Jesus says that. And he also says, few find it. That's not preached often, but that is what Jesus said, not me. And I'm not trying to be like beat people over the head. What I am saying is, you got to carry that cross. Doing the right thing isn't going to get you invited to the barbecue sometimes. It may even make you enemies. It may make your life harder than it could be. Talk about that. Luke learns that.
Well, he didn't have a choice in this matter. We sometimes have choices and we're seeing our culture going off the rails. And sometimes we don't have a choice when there's suffering placed upon us. But he starts to discover that he loves science. Like I said, he was taking 3 science classes. He starts to see the beauty of what is being offered to him that he didn't see from the outside. So it's kind of placed upon him and a whole new world opens up. He's still trying to be his mischievous self. He does a little prank. He gets, you know, meets up with his old kids at school because the house only is like a block from school, which is all very true. Ends up, you know, sneaking into the classroom, hiding in the closet, realizing, what have I done? Why did I think this was funny? But he learns the lesson of God is bigger than us. And it's the lesson that our culture used to know and has forgotten. And I think that's what you're talking about, Joe.
But that comes through prayer. You see, and what it is, we could talk about that, like what I've learned and what I try to do, because I have quite a task in front of me with regard to things that I'm responsible for. I have to have a deep prayer life. You have to have that. You see, like, even like with this show, we recently interviewed someone. Like, for me to have the show, I have to have a deep relationship with God. That's where everything comes from. That's where the patience come from with your children. That's how you keep your marriage together. You see, that's how you understand that idea that you're talking about with regard to Luke. To do those things, you see, that's what's missing. That's what people don't get or want to do. Guys, they'll work out 2 hours a day, get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, run, do triathlons. They'll have goals. I'm going to read 100 books this year. I'm going to get this degree. All that in the end means nothing. Zero. And when you're 80 and dying, you're not going to be like, damn, I didn't read the Greeks. Who cares? Like, we got to get in front of Jesus and start praying. Talk about that, because I think that's what was missing here.
Amen. Because we could get through something, but still have a chip on our shoulder. He could have been like, my parents made me homeschool. But through prayer, your world starts to open up. You start to see things. You start to surrender and put yourself in God's hands. And that's where the transformation starts to happen. So I there's somebody who I want to get on my show, my talk show, on who is against all the transgender stuff. Just totally against it. And I have interviewed people who are detransitioning. And he didn't set out to normalize himself. He just went deeper in his faith. Turns out it was the Catholic faith. I saw him with a rosary and I thought, hey, is he Catholic? And his name's Ollie London. He was kind of like a pop star, had a big following. There's other people like this too, though. I've interviewed a number of different people. I've seen it. I've read about them. And they didn't set to fix things. All they did was start going deeper in their faith. So guess who did the fixing? That's just it. When you talk about, I've got all this stuff going on, I can't do it without my prayer life. Because God shows us the path. He makes straight our path. He leads us. I'm the same way. I'm juggling in all these things. And I just keep saying, okay, I want to do this for you, Lord. Lead me. And then things happen that are like, wow, it seems like a coincidence, but we know it's a God instance. But we're able to manage. We're able to make sense out of things because of our prayer life. And our prayer life is a relationship with God. We can't skip that piece. We can't go out and run the marathon and hold down three jobs and are these high achievers, but we don't have a prayer life. So you can say, okay, I'll tell you an example. There was a guy here in North Dakota. He lost both his arms in a farming accident. And he was in every newspaper in the world because he went into the house, used a pencil, dialed 911. They reattached his arms. It was like this ongoing story that the world was watching. So then he wanted to write a book. And he was looking for a ghostwriter. Somebody gave him my name. So we were on the phone with each other, kind of interviewing one another. And then I said, you must have at that time called out to God, dear, help me. He said, oh, no, I'm my own God. Everything I did myself. It's like, interview over. So you can go through life thinking you're doing everything. But in the end, he wasn't happy. He kept trying different things. He had a lot of money, you know, settlement money. But all his ideas, like, he's not a happy man. And it's probably been 15 years now. And I think there would have been a different path if he recognized God in his life. And I pray for him. And I don't know where he's at right now. But I think it's exactly what you're talking about. It's that we can't do this without the prayer life and make sense and have peace and have the most important things rise to the top. Like Ollie London said, I didn't set out to recognize, like, I feel I love who I was born to be. I didn't before. I wasn't trying to fix that. It just happened as I deepened my relationship with God.
Absolutely. Patty McGuire Armstrong is joining us here at the Frontline with Joe and Joe. So we're discussing two of her books that you can buy at holyheroes.com and amazon.com. Dear God, I don't get it. And dear God, you can't be serious. Patty, we have a few minutes left. I think there's a big misunderstanding out there. I'd love for you to talk about the two themes that come out of this story. You can't be serious, are acceptance and understanding. Now, those words are thrown around a lot. Okay. And I think a lot of people get caught up. It's like, well, what does it mean to accept? Does it mean I have to accept, like you mentioned, transgenders? Do I have to start calling a boy a she? Is that acceptance? Is that understanding? Or are there a different level that we as Catholics know true acceptance and true understanding? Okay. But also followed up with the need, or at least to talk about the need for conversion, to change our lives. Talk about the true meaning, Patty, in the last, let's say, 2 minutes we have left. What is acceptance? What is understanding that we as Catholics have to employ when dealing with other people?
Well, first of all, acceptance is that God is God and we're not. And that if we even read, you know, if we just know a little bit about what Christianity is, it's, you know, God, that there's one God, and love, that we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. Those two commandments are what brings acceptance of others, acceptance of ourselves, and acceptance of God. So when we say acceptance, it's been twisted. The devil twists everything. Acceptance is this whole diversity and equity, which is anything but uniting our country. It's turning us against one another. And equity isn't true equity. It's like, we're going to be unfair to you so we can give an advantage to the. It's like, no, that's not, it's not true love. And so acceptance starts with God, then with ourselves. Like, we got to stop beating up ourselves too. And that's a human condition, because we are imperfect. But I loved Mother Teresa's example of humility. She says, I know who I am, and therefore the compliments and praise of others don't touch me, but then neither do the insults, because you are a child of God. So you can celebrate. You can celebrate the Joe and Joe show. It's great. Everything's going great, but you're doing it in union with God, and you're recognizing whatever success you have is from Him. So you can celebrate that and not be full of yourself. And so you accept that, well, I had a bad day, and then you immediately go to God with it. And then you start to accept other people. That's what true acceptance is loving them. It's not accepting the things they're doing that are hurting them, because the culture says, if you don't accept it, you're the bad guy. You see through that and say, no, that is not love. And that is not acceptance. It's doing something that's ultimately going to hurt them. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Patty. We're coming up on the end of the show. Well, I want to give you time. Let our audience know what the titles of the book, where they could buy it, and more importantly, where they could find out more about you and what you have going on.
I write for the National Catholic Register. You can get the Dear God, You Can't Be Serious, and Dear God, I Don't Get It books at Holy Heroes. My website, which is definitely needs to be updated, but it's PattyMcGuireArmstrong.com. But if you go to the National Catholic Register, you'll see my most recent articles. There's, you know, Holy Hacks with Ave Maria Press. The Dear God. And then there is What Would Monica Do with Ascension, and all the Amazing Grace books are with Ascension Press too. So that's
Patty McGuire Armstrong. Joe and I say sincerely, we are honored and blessed to count you amongst our friends. Thank you so much for coming back on the front line with Joe and Joe and having a great conversation. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys. God bless you both. You two are amazing. I just feel like I'm talking with old friends. So I love it.
Absolutely. And thank you all out there for joining us at the Veritas Catholic Radio Network, 1350 on your AM dial, 103.9 on your FM dial, spreading the truth of the Catholic faith to the New York City metropolitan area. Thanks again for joining us. And remember, until the next time, that our conversation is your conversation, and that conversation is going on everywhere. We'll talk to you soon.